نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Reverend Dr. Malachi York, why is it that the devil came after the woman?
We go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look at the 7th verse. Somebody have it?
Yes.
Can you read it?
Yes. It says, then the Lord God took some soil from the ground.
See, that's why I don't want to use that version of the Bible. Because here in Georgia, particularly in America, most people use the King James version of the Bible. A lot of demons have stepped in and started creating all these different versions, the Jehovah's Witness version, the Seventh-day Adventist version, the New Standard, the Revised version, and all these versions is a diversion to take people away from the root meaning, because you know there's a Hebrew meaning, and it's bad enough that we got to use an English translation. Most of the preachers can't speak Hebrew and can't speak Aramaic, and they can't, or Ivrit is the real way of saying Hebrew, and they can't read. They're already giving the congregation a poor translation because King James is not efficient. But most people have settled in America for the King James version of the Bible. So when you're trying to teach, you're forced to have to keep going back to that, though it's not true. It's not a correct Bible, it's incorrect, and none of the Christian ministers won't get up and go do their research for themselves and come back and tell their congregation, well, we're not going to use this no more, we're going to use the Hebrew. If I tried to give this broadcast and quote from only the Hebrew Bible, people would say, oh, see, he has his own Bible. That's a methodology used by finesse masters. You follow? So it's very touchy when you quote from a Bible that most people are not going to recognize, because then they're going to say, oh, the Egyptian Church of Christ uses it. We do have our own translations from the original language, but they're not ready for them yet. So we have to deal with them from the versions that they read from. So I appreciate if somebody, with all due respect, sister, I appreciate if somebody would read to me from the King James Version of the Bible.
Okay, I understand. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Now we're in Genesis chapter 2. After going through the whole Genesis chapter 1 story, and the male and female created he him in verse 27, and it says the Lord, and so God created man in his image, in the image of God created he him, and then male and female created he them. Meaning that first he made this mortal man like him. Here's a very important point. Read the 27th verse, I'll read it, because you probably can't get there. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Well, if you ask any Christian, any Muslim, or any Jew, anybody of the monotheistic religion, what is the image of God? They'll say the image of an unseen God. There's a quote to back that. They'll call him an unseen God, a spirit being. A being that man, he doesn't have a physical form. They'll call that anthropomorphism. If you start trying to say, why did he have a hand, and why did he have a foot, and why did he have a head, they have a whole big word for it that basically comes down to say, no, we want God to remain a spirit being in a spirit world. You follow that? And then when you come to the Bible and go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, so God, right, created man in his own image. Therefore, the first creation of man, right, would not be in a physical form. The initial creation of man would have to be the creation of man's spirit form or his soul, or any way you want to, or any way you put it, you follow?
Right.
But not his body yet. Because he's going to go on later on and grab the dust of the ground. You find that quote? It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? You're talking about Christ. Wow. Who is the image of the invisible God? So they declare God as someone or something invisible. Right there. You follow? And then you go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 27, and it says simply, what? And God created man in his own image. So that word, sowah, the Hebrew word being used there, like fashioning or shaping, sowah, is actually the shaping of a spirit being or soul before he even had a body. You follow that? So man was first an angelic being, because any being in a spirit form other than God is therefore God's messenger.
Right.
And thus God will impart a message to that spirit being so that it could be a mediator between him and mortals who could not stand the power and presence of God's glory and grace and goodness. It would just explode man. It became directly in the direct presence of God. God is so good that the goodness would overwhelm man. So God created, mediated between himself and man the same way you channel down energy so you can see a light bulb. If you went to the direct source of that light bulb over there, the electricity would blow you up. That electricity would be equivalent to God versus the light bulb. So angels are light bulbs, and man was, of course, created as an angel first. You follow that? And then he fell from grace. If Jesus came to give man grace, like it says in St. John chapter 1, the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came by way of Jesus Christ. If Jesus came to give man grace, and Jesus came from heaven, then Jesus was coming to claim a being who had their origin in heaven and fell to earth. Like the angels who fell, man was a fallen angel too. Man was a part of the ranks of Michael that fell to earth. All right, so because it gets around to your question, why did this devil, or should be, how did this devil decide to choose the woman as opposed to the man?
Right.
You follow? We see that repeated later in Job, why he wouldn't go near a man. All right, so now as you're looking at that, now we go down to, I kept reading 27:1 and reading and telling you it was 27:2.
Right.
My mind was on 27. My mind was on Genesis chapter 2:7.
Right.
All right? Okay, so I'd like to make that correction right now. Now, we look at Genesis, again, chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, you see? So now we got one creation of man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
Right.
But this creation of man is in the image of God. And then we read in Colossians that the image of God is an invisible image. So thus man's spirit was formed first.
Right.
You follow that? In heaven. And now when you go to Genesis chapter 2, now they're going to talk about a man's body. His body came from the dust of the ground. All this is going into why Lucifer or Satan went for the woman. All right? So he created man spiritually in his image and after his likeness. Can the devil tempt God? Can the devil tempt God?
No.
Can the devil tempt God?
No.
No, you saw when the devil came before God throughout the Bible, he's humble.
Right.
Right in the book of Job.
Yep.
He don't come up with God cocky. He don't come and start questioning God. He may question God's servants. He may tempt God's angels, but he don't mess with God.
Right.
And man was in what image?
God.
In the image of God created he him.
Right.
Then out of that male and female created he them.
Right.
Let's see it. Right. Now you look at chapter 2, verse 7, and it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now not only is man a spirit, but he also has a breath of life.
Right.
And you have a conflict with that sometimes because they take the word chayim, nefesh, which is nefesh chayim, and they say it means, nefesh means living spirit, chayim, living spirit, nefesh, but the word is living soul. And how do you know it's soul? Because of the statement blue is God blew the breath of life. And the same root word, ruah, for soul means to the wind. So now, man already had his spirit of God.
Right.
Then when God took and created the flesh of man, God put that by way of a soul or ruach went into that shell, and man became a nefesh chayim, a living soul. The marriage between the mother of the earth and the spirit of God makes a man. Right in the Bible. The marriage between the earth and the spirit of God in the image of God makes the man. And the individuality that's in each man becomes the way he expresses himself through his mind. You follow that? Mind is almost synonymous with mind in possession when you think of it phonetically.
That's true.
But that mind is linked to a reservoir referred to as the mental. The mental. You understand? And every being feeds off the thoughts of the mental. There's not a being walking or talking that can come up with a thought that has not been thought before in some form or fashion. They may shape it different, color it different, but the basic concept is already in the mental and links people with an etheric cord down to each individual, like you have an umbilical cord. You have an etheric cord from God with a flowing of energy, like the so-called Acts speaking about they saw the light come down out of heaven and light upon the head of men, and they were being filled with the Holy Ghost. See, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, that's when man is being touched by God.
Right.
You follow? And what happens to his body? His body goes limp. His body goes sporadic. His body goes crazy because it's almost like getting electrocuted.
Right.
Because there's a link being made with a force greater than man can tolerate. But if an angel comes to a man, you never heard about an angel walking through angels. In the book, it tells you that, Gabriel walked up to Daniel.
That's right.
And he said, isn't this the man Gabriel? The angel. The angel walked up and Daniel didn't fall on the floor.
Well.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when Jesus, who was at a certain point in St. John's, where he was at the fullest power of God in the garden, when they walked up to him and he asked them who they looking for, and they said, Jesus, he said, I am he. They fell on the ground.
Right.
As if they got electrocuted.
Right.
Because he had the fullest power of God moving through him at the time they asked that question.
Jesus.
So man has the earth, the spirit, the soul, and the mind. I'm not touching on women yet.
Ooh.
But when you marry all of these forces together, you have a man of God. Okay? So now look at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into man's nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
So man was formed and had a nose.
Right.
And
right. Breathed
in. So if you're breathing in, then God was sending a force out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's sending the power from himself like a wind.
Okay.
And when he blew that wind, man went. And ever since that, man been going. You listen close, you hear the original word, Elo, which the Arabs call Allah, the in-breath and the out. You don't hear God.
Right.
Say God.
God.
God is breathing out. Say it again.
God.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is breathing out. Say Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Jehovah is breathing out. That's why Elohim is at the beginning and not Jehovah. Now say, Elohim.
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 Do you breathe in to say Elohim?
Right.
So God identifies himself through the breath of life by him saying, I breathe into man.
Wow.
And man became a living soul.
We hear you, Rev.
So he go. So yeah. God just went. And man went.
Oh, wow.
And his diaphragm makes an L shape. That's why Muslims are using the word Allah. Because it's a form of babies are laying in bed going in Hebrew. The same word. Somewhere along the line, the devil got in and cut your in a biblical cord called etheric cord from God to man.
Right.
And man has been separated from God. You follow that? And then when man became separated from God, the devil knew he could move in. But he was afraid to approach Adam. Because God had instructed Adam. He hadn't instructed Eve. The commandment was made with Adam. Let's go to the Bible and look and see what it says. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the
man.
You with me? Saying?
Yeah.
What is it saying?
Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
God gave man a commandment. Not one of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Way before Exodus. Way before that, the children of Israel left. He had a commandment back in Genesis. And that first commandment, God commanded his son. Because the Bible calls Adam the son of God. I find that quote for me. Calls him the son of God. They get the whole line of descendancy. And when they get to the end of it, they say, Adam, the son of God. Now, after man was already on earth, you understand? As God's children, God sent other children in Genesis chapter 6. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were good girls or fair girls, and they went after them. So he didn't stop with just Adam or you. He said more, and there was a conflict there. We'll get to that if you want to. You with me?
Yeah.
It says in Luke chapter 3, verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of Theos, or the son of God. So Adam is the son of God. Right? You understand that? And you all thus are the children of God if you are the seed of God, as mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So you have the power of God moving through you, and you're not using it. You can make it rain. You can make it stop raining. You can fight back the powers and the forces of evil. I've seen people get together and pray and hurt evil. Watch evil fall down the stairs. I've seen it happen. All right, let's look at it again. It says, now remember, right before 16, verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave man responsibilities.
Okay.
Told him, well, you're going to go to take care of this garden for me.
Okay.
Then it goes on in 16, and the Lord God commanded the man. Now he gave him a job in there. Take care of the garden. Now, while you're in the garden, I'm telling you what you're not supposed to touch. This is my garden.
Okay.
And I'm putting you in it, and I'm telling you what not to touch.
Right.
In 16, God tells him what not to touch. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. All the fruit in the garden you may eat.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes in verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 18, and this is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to see where it comes in. 18:666.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Revelation chapter 13 talks about the devil and has 18 verses.
Right.
666.
Yes.
And it speaks about the corruption of women. Because they corrupt a woman at 18, a man at 20, 21. They tell a woman in this society, at 18 you can go out and get a license, you can go out and get drunk, you can go do what you feel like doing. At 18, that's 666. The Bible says 13.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says 13 with a bat mitzvah or a bar mitzvah, the daughter or son of mitzvah, of commandments. It's the same word, mitzvah. Right? The son of the daughter of commandments. That's when you're supposed to abide by the commandments at 13. This society where you live in, that's ruled by devils, have actually ignored God's law and created their own. They said, no, 18 for a girl and 21 for a man. And if you say anything about that there, you're going against the law of man, and you're violating the law, and they put you in jail, in their jail. So they put fear in your heart to keep you from obeying God's law.
Right.
Okay, where was that? We got 18 now. Look. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for himself. You got that?
Yes.
God is going to give him a what they call an Israel, a helper, an assistant. So a woman wasn't there when God gave Adam the commandments to not touch the fruit. Go back. Go back again. Look in Genesis. And see what God says about what they can eat in verse 17. Somebody read it.
But of the tree
Thou surely done. Now someone else read 16. Okay. And the Lord God.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat.
There was no woman.
No.
She didn't know this.
Interesting.
There's no place in here where it tells you, and Adam sat down and told Eve that God told me to tell you as God's messenger and angel that you should not do this.
Right. Teach us, Rev.
But the devil knew that Adam hadn't told Eve.
Right.
Because the devil was there watching
him.
He was already there in the garden.
Oh, man.
And he knew that Eve didn't know.
Mm.
So he knew he could appeal to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was easy to get the woman. Mm-hmm. He talked to her about some very vain things.
Right.
Oh, he said it's pleasant to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for food.
Mm-hmm.
Desire.
Right.
He had pleasure, desire, and good.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed.
Right. Right.
And women now are trying to lure men by pleasure, desire, and make us feel that's good.
Oh.
The devil has switched the whole thing around where women are lures, living by lust. They dress to be seen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Pleasant to the eye.
Here you are.
Didn't know
that. Right? They want to be desired. They want to know that men see them as not just women, but beautiful sexual objects. They don't even sometimes know that.
Tell us, right.
Desires. See? Pleasure. Desire. That's lust. That's lust at its best. What is lust without pleasure and desire?
Nothing, right?
And boy, does that feel good.
Yes.
So the simple statement in Genesis chapter 3, pleasant to the eye and good for food and desire. The devil knew what instruments and tools he was going to use on the woman. Oh, he just got to give you a victorious secret and show you a bunch of beautiful costumes in there, and you be seeing yourself in them. You don't look like nobody in there. Understand? But you be seeing yourself in them. You say, I know I'm going to be pleasant to the eye.
Right.
I know I'm going to be good to look at. I know I'm going to make him desire me. He want to know why the devil went after the woman? Because he had a plan. Because God right here instructed man. God gave man that commandment. Why did God give it to man? Because man was in the image and after the likeness of God before a woman was even in the flesh.
Right.
And man got his body later. And when the marriage took place between the man's body and the man's soul and the man's spirit, then the devil didn't want to bother him. And I can show you how God set the devil up in Job. Because God, isn't God all knowing?
Yeah.
So what did the devil tell Job? What did the devil tell God? Take for instance your servant Job.
Mm-hmm.
God said, yeah.
Right.
Let me, if you wasn't giving him all these boundaries, all this stuff, I bet you I can make him deny you.
Mm-hmm.
But God knew that Job was in his image and after his likeness.
Right.
God knew down the root of Job, down the root of every man, there's a God sitting there.
Yeah.
I mean, we have suppressed the God and became demons,
right.
Become drunkards, because now we got the devil ruling us,
right.
Telling us how to think, telling us who to point the gun at. It's all right if I put a badge on you for you to shoot that black kid. That's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's all right if I put a badge on you for to beat that black woman in the head, white black man.
Right.
And we walk up to a black police officer and say, how you doing, brother? I heard you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
The devil got you thinking other than suffering kind.
Mm.
That's how he works. You see? So he took the man and he beat the man down to less than man.
Mm.
And now we're walking around less than man, working for a man.
Mm.
That's God put us in the garden to till the garden. He didn't put us in the garden to be employed by somebody else. Okay.
Mm.
Boy. Did I touch on something here?
Yes.
Let me see. Is that what's wrong with the Nubians, maybe? The fact that they don't want to go out and work for you, but they have figured out a way to work for self and kind and make it, and it's blowing your mind?
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with the Nubians, because they found an image in a person that they like, and that they want to idolize, and just happen to be dark-skinned nigga called Malachi, namely me, and they're not worshiping your image or following you, and they won't beat down no black folks for you.
Right.
Is that bothering you?
That's right.
Yeah. But we understand that principle. And that's why we're in the Nubians, and that's why we're here, to make the difference,
to link ourselves up with God as God's children.
Right.
Now, he says he's God. Haven't you heard? They call him God. God said we're God.
Right.
Now, you're going to go against the very Bible? Adam was the son of God. If you're the son of God, you're a God.
Right.
And the sons of God, those were gods. They may be miniature gods, but they're still gods. God. You're a man, you give birth to a son, he becomes a man. So why does it stop there? So the devil knew what he was doing.
Okay.
The devil knew when he set out for the woman what he was doing. Because he knew right there in Genesis chapter 2, and he watched it.
Yeah.
Because somebody was watching the Spirit of God hover upon the surface of the water.
Right.
If someone was watching the Spirit of God hover upon the surface of the water, that person must have been in the water.
Yeah.
If that person or being was in the water, and he wasn't man, because man wasn't created yet, and he wasn't woman, because women wasn't created yet, and we don't have no angels living under the water.
That's right.
We don't have our new heavenly host underneath the water. But I can go on and turn. I can turn right now to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 and ask you to read it. Let me see if I hear something that sounds like some kind of being that might live in water.
Okay.
Chapter 3 verse 1.
Now the serpent.
Whoop, stop, hold it. Back up. Now the serpent. The
serpent,
mind you.
Yep.
Now what's a serpent, y'all?
Snake.
A reptilian, a snake,
right.
A sea creature.
Right.
Now, go back to Genesis, and the Spirit of God did what? Right back, let me get here. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's read it here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form, and void and darkness upon the face of the deep.
Mm.
That's the deep blue sea.
Right.
And the what?
And the Spirit of God.
Go ahead.
Upon the face of the water.
Who saw that? If Adam wasn't created yet.
Right.
And where were they at when they saw that?
Right.
Where were they looking from?
Right.
They were looking from
right.
the deep. Looking up at God's Spirit moving across the water.
Mm.
Who was doing that? Let's go on back to Genesis chapter
right,
3.
Right.
We might find out. Or you deadbeat reverends out there who can't see. You might find out if you pay attention here
right.
and see what Nwafo is here for.
Right.
What does it say then? Now the what?
The serpent.
Bring up the Leviathan. There's Leviathan in your Bible, a great sea serpent,
that's right.
And a bad bill, a goat,
yeah.
All linked in as devils. Mm. What does it say there? In Job chapter 41 verse 1, canest thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? You see?
Yeah.
What do you catch with a hook?
Right.
Or his tongue, can you stop him from his tongue?
Mm.
You know what I mean? With a cord, you see that? Who we talking about? Psalm 74:14. Thou breakest the head of Leviathan into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now look up Leviathan in your Bible, and it tells you a sea monster.
Yeah.
It literally tells you a sea monster.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, back in Genesis,
okay.
This so-called being,
mm-hmm.
which you so often referred to as the devil, even though Genesis don't say devil, it says serpent.
Okay.
For some reason, the reverend wants to say devil.
Yeah.
He wants to say evil person.
Well.
He wants to even say Satan, but he don't want to say serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Because somewhere along the line in the congregation or in the class or Sunday school, some intelligent kid, because that's the kind of kid I was, wanted to stand up and say, excuse me, teacher, what's a serpent? And then she'd have to open the book and say a snake.
Yep.
And I want to say a snake. A snake could talk.
Right.
Well, they were, what species? A snake talk. I mean, you know, what's a snake doing in a garden?
Right.
I mean, you know, and what is Eve doing talking to a snake? Who's got the nerve to talk against God?
Right.
Didn't God create the snake?
Right.
He says in the Bible,
right.
He created all the creatures in the sea. Didn't it say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, oh, this is real good. Yeah. You got to find that. It's real good because it tells you in there when God created the sea creatures.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's watch the show. No, I don't think y'all heard me. I don't think y'all caught on to what just happened. As I was going in, the Spirit moved me in another direction. I was
right.
going someplace else, and the Spirit said, hey, Doc,
yeah.
look over here. You find it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. That is before the serpent now. Check this
right,
out.
Right.
120, what happened?
God
of the sea. When did God put the fish in the sea there? Let's look at Genesis. Just look at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. Somebody read it.
And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful.
Talking about Adam and Eve.
And multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth.
So God is there creating, filling up the waters and the seas, right? But back here, it says that the Spirit of God, right, moved upon and faced the Fayim of the waters. And somebody was looking at them. Because somebody was writing this.
Right.
So now there were sea creatures before there was sea creatures. And one of those sea creatures, before there were sea creatures, was a race of beings called Leviathan or devils. I mean, you call them devils, meaning serpents. And this serpent existed before Adam and Eve. Now, who taught the serpent how to talk? Who and what language was he speaking in? Because when you read King James, you get an English conversation here in Genesis between Eve and the devil. What language? Was it Amharic? Was it Ugaric? Was it cuneiform? It couldn't have been Hebrew because that didn't come into Genesis chapter 13. The Dagon shouldn't be out of it because that was way after. So what language was the devil talking in? They had a school? Because if you have a language, you have a culture, you have to have something to talk about. Something to call a noun. Something, if you have to see a verb, you got to have a reaction to get an adjective. So if the devil had a language already, he already saw nouns and saw the actions of birds and watched the reactions of things, same size and stuff to get adjectives. Before Adam and Eve started talking. All right. You with me?
Yeah,
you
want to
know why?
Definitely.
Why the devil? I'm going to tell you why. Let's go on. Okay, we're going to stay here in Genesis chapter 2, back to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Right? I will make for him a helpmeet. And he decided at that point he was going to make man. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Let me find. He told you how he did it. When you get down to that same verse, he said, Adam called every living creature. Whatever Adam called, that was its name. Got that? That's verse 19. Now go to 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, right? And all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Don't forget that the devil was one of the most subtle beasts of all the field. All
right?
That's what it says right there in Genesis chapter 3. But for Adam, what?
There was not found a helpmeet for him.
God promised it to him, but he didn't give it to him yet. So so she wasn't there yet. So she wasn't there when the commandment was being made.
Right.
And now we're down to verse 21. What does it say?
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof.
So now, God took the flesh of woman out of man.
Okay.
According to this Bible.
Right.
He took the woman right out of man's flesh. He didn't say he gave create her in the spiritual realm yet. He didn't say he created her with a soul or spirit yet. It says right there, he took woman out of man's body. Bone of my bone, it's going to say, and flesh of my flesh.
Right.
Well, read on, Adam 23. And Adam said,
this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
He didn't say nothing about nefesh chayim. He didn't say nothing about ruach. He didn't say nothing about no Holy Spirits. He didn't say nothing about no soul. And then he said, this woman is physical. She's out of me physically. You understand? Right?
She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
She'll be called woman because she was taken from man. That's it. Look up the word woman there. In that one. What do you get? Isha. What is the male? Ish. So what they basically said is, I am Ish living. That's what the word comes from. And you are Ishu, living. We are both living. Now, both of us are alive. Our name says so. But one of us is in the image and after the likeness of God, and the other is in the image and after the likeness of man. You hear me? Now, don't sound nice to women sometimes, but I'm just reading the Bible. According to the Bible, man was created in his image and after his likeness, but woman was created from man and named Ishu as a man is called Ish. You hear me?
Yes.
To say she's in his image and after his likeness. Let's go on down before we get to the big one. Because they're giving you the stepping stones of why the devil, or a serpent, or that snake, or whatever you want to call it, why he went for your woman, why he went for y'all,
right.
And not us.
Right.
It's telling you right here. Let's go on down to 24.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
See? So the woman, now their bodies become one. So then they would also start to share the same spirit and soul. Mm. She gets her spirit and soul from her man.
Mm.
Nothing more miserable than a lonely woman.
Mm. Right?
Nothing more miserable than a lonely woman. And nature has fixed it up so you'll end up miserable. Mm. Why? Because we're living in a realm where the devil's in control. Mm. He's manipulating everything we do by those three principles.
Okay.
What are they? Mm. What are the three principles made about earlier?
Pleasure, desire,
and good.
Good.
But he has fixed it up, see, that at a certain part, at a certain point, your body starts to fall apart.
Right.
And you're no longer as desirable as you were because he controls the media and the sigh, and he puts out what's good to look at.
Right.
He makes what's pleasant to the eye. He keeps making you think you got to be within a period between, let's say, 18 and 20. 5 to 30, and after that there, oh, your life is going to fall apart. And a lot of women fall there, and they start eating and consuming and not caring, become very obese, and stop taking care of themselves. They don't see themselves as beautiful no more, and therefore they become lonely.
Right.
If you check the average house out there, you'll find more women are by themselves. They're more lonely. Then he puts in your mind, you don't have to listen to men. Ain't about no men's world. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says woman was created to man's helper. That's God's word.
Right.
Some man with the man word is trying to make you think you don't need a man.
Right.
You don't need to listen to a man. You can do this on your own. And know what it turns you into? It turns you into devils. Then you start seeking men for what you can use them for. And when you start seeking a man for what you can use them for, you have become a devil's advocate.
Wow.
Because God said that man, it was not good for man to be alone. So let me, this is God's idea. This ain't man's plan or man's idea. God said it's not good for man to be alone. So let me make him a helper. Not someone to take over him. Not someone to walk in front of him. Your helper don't walk in front of you. Your helper may walk beside you, but never in front of you. Now they got women out there wanting to be in front. Liberated women. Independent women. Women corporations, women, and all those are the tools of the devil. It may sound like a man is trying to put you in some form of subjection, because they call God he too.
Right.
But the bottom line is, when you really look at the words, you look at the Bible, you really study it, a woman is out of her place now.
Yeah.
Right.
And the devil has led her out of her place, and she feels good. But he also has made her miserable.
Mm-hmm.
He also has made her lonely.
Right.
He set her up in a way where she just stopped caring about that. I'm getting old anyway. Nobody will look at me no more. So she starts eating, and then one thing she gets through, she says, no, you still have to take care of yourself. Thank you very much. But I didn't mind that. You don't really mean that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's all the work of the devil. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out. If women was grafted from the man's rib, how come they're not also considered God's too? If man was... You know, if God blew the breath, you know.
Women are considered more than God because women conceived God.
Mm.
Women became an instrument of nature. And God shaped man's body out of nature. So the same process he used to take man from the dust of the ground, the process has never changed. Because woman is also the dust of the ground. And man is still coming from the dust of the ground by way of the woman. Man is not, you're not born. Look up that word born one day. You know what you find out? That it takes you back to growth. Now if you really think of the concept of birth and think of from the moment a woman becomes impregnated, something grows in her womb. It's not created, it grows. And then it comes into this world and it continues to grow until it deteriorates by growth and becomes a part of a larger growing pattern. It goes back to the ashes, dust to dust, and becomes a part of the fertile soil, and things still grow. You see that? That's why a woman is God. But she's God as nature. She's higher than that because she's more, she gives birth to God. Hello?
Right.
Let's look at it again now. And the last verse of the last verse of the second chapter, before we have to deal with the devil, says,
and
And they were both
naked.
Mm. But
the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Who's saying that? Mm. Let me tell you why I say who's saying that. Because whoever's saying that knows about shame. Mm. So shame didn't come with man and woman's acts. This being knew about shame.
Mm.
Well, they said they're naked. Right?
Right.
And they're not ashamed. Now, what is wrong? What's the one thing wrong with being ashamed about being naked? Looking at your sexual organs. Correct? So if you're looking at so if the being that was existing knew about sexual organs, then they were having sex. Before Adam and Eve knew about sex. So sex existed before Adam and Eve started having sex. What was the purpose of sex? What is the purpose of sex? Procreation. So people were having sex back then because shame is mentioned. Hello?
Okay.
Right.
And they were procreating. So them serpent people, them serpents were having children.
Mm.
They had a seed. They had people living. And they knew about shame.
Mm.
And when you get to Genesis chapter 3 verse 18, it tells you the serpent has a seed, a zera, an offspring. That's deep, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Don't see it that way. Once that part of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, is in your mind, you get a concept of who God gave the commandment to and who that person was to God versus his mate and how he was supposed to cling to his mate and make them one flesh. You know what I'm trying to say? Now, Abraham must have violated the law because he had three fleshes. And Solomon had 700 fleshes. And Rehoboam had 18 fleshes. But God never complained. Because God got millions of fleshes. You understand?
Right.
Now you launch into Genesis chapter 3 where your answer comes up.
Okay.
Right? And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He's not saying that he made the serpent. That's not what that said.
Okay.
Read it again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
Mm.
The Lord God had made the beast of the field. He hadn't made the serpent.
Right.
People keep saying God created the devil. I was looking why did God create the devil. Mm. And I was telling, basically my point was that God wouldn't create a devil.
Right.
That's why I ask people all the time, well, why don't God just go poof and get rid of the devil? And they get mad at that question. And why don't he just go poof? Well, because he wants to try you. God don't have to try you. He already knows what's in your mind. He already knows what's in your heart. He don't have to test you. God don't have to test nobody. He's all knowing. So now, why do we have to contend with the devil? Because the devil is moving on his own power.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that? Because if you look at the story of Nimrod, you see a man who's moving on his own power. A man who's building a tower so powerful that God got to leave heaven and come down and see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that he's walking around and doing things that make God have to say, what the heck is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
There are other forces and other powers out there. We are putting our attention on a specific God. There are other gods out there and other powers out there. Otherwise, we wouldn't be wrestling with Satan all our lives if he didn't have any power.
Right.
And there wouldn't be so many people pretending to be preachers, pretending to be sheriffs, pretending to be judges, pretending to be lawyers, pretending to be doctors of the Satan. Coming on and telling that this doctor just killed all these innocent patients.
Yeah.
What's your reason?
I don't know.
Oh, let's just call him a serial killer. Because he does it repeatedly.
Mm.
How about calling him what he is?
Right.
A devil.
Right.
A son of Sam. A son of Satan.
That's right.
One of his seed. Tell the truth.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It says, I'm ready now. You ready now?
Yeah.
Now, after all of that, it goes by now. It starts with now, not and. Now that we got that straight, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Hear it? And he said unto the woman. He didn't go looking for Adam. He went after the woman. Now do you see it?
Yes.
Why did he go after the woman? Because God didn't tell her the commandments. Go back and read it. He told Adam what he shouldn't do. The woman didn't know. And in most cases, woman is just walking along like doo-doo-doo-doo. And by happenstance, she's caught up in a mess. Because she's so easily seduced by those three things. Things that are beautiful. Oh, the flowers are so beautiful. You say, don't touch that rose beneath that, right? There's a thorn where a woman just go, oh! He said, well, I could try to tell you, believe that beautiful rose in the thorn worship, but women just got to have a rose. So somewhere along the line, they made a habit of sending women roses. I think they were trying to tell women, look at the rose and see the story of life and death.
Yeah.
Women are attracted by beautiful things. When men just walk by, maybe just, I'll be walking them down with a woman. She'll go, just look. And be like, what? the butterfly. I said, you mean the insect? I'm insensitive now. I'm insensitive because I don't see the butterfly go, I'm supposed to go, you know, we're supposed to sit there and start, you know, tiptoeing towards the air like it's a butterfly, a bug. You know what I'm trying to say? Look at it. There's a difference between us. You know what I'm saying? Y'all get attracted to things like that. And the devil knows that. So he can bribe you.
Right, right.
Yeah, he can tell you, listen, you want to live good. You want to have a lot of luxury. You want fancy clothes and a fancy car. You want to go all over the world. You want to go to parties and have a good time, don't you? Yeah. Pleasant to the eye. Good food. Let's go have a lobster right now. And some shrimp. Let's just go and have a good, what they call it, a lobster fest. Red lobster. Yes. Pleasant to the eye. Good for food. You know what I'm saying? Let's just go have a good time and party on the Riviera. Let's go spend all our money in Las Vegas or Atlantic City. Yeah. I got to make the money. Because in that same statement, he condemns me to work by the sweat of my brow. And the man shall work by the sweat of his brow is my curse. Your thing is, oh, I'm going to increase childbearing. Wait a minute. How can you increase childbearing if Eve is the first person having a child? How can he increase it? Someone else wants to have a kid in order for you can't increase something that ain't there. Go back and read your Bible just doesn't see increase in there. Are you catching the drift?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a concentrated effort to get that woman. Go ahead.
Was that vanity naturally in the woman because she didn't have the Spirit of God in her, so even the tempter that was?
What's so funny is, well, I laugh because you say that vanity. Do you know that women sit in front of the vanity when they put on their makeup?
Yes.
They call it a vanity. They sit right there. And it's in vain. Because when you wake up the next morning, it won't be there. And you gotta start all over again. No, I don't believe, and I don't like to even use that word, but I don't believe that it was naturally in women. Women are naturally good. But because they were created to be a helper, they're very easily converted. Easily led in the wrong way. Because they were created to be an assistant. Yeah, created for it. So whoever comes along and sounds like they're saying what's best for them, that's who they follow. You know what I'm saying? If the FBI come and tell them, well, I think it's best for you to betray your sister so-and-so, because they can talk for long and she's going, yeah. It's very easy for them to be swayed away. Mm. And that's how they were created. But that's because man was supposed to grab her and cling on to her and keep her. Keep her close to him and they become one flesh. The moment they break away and they're no longer one flesh, there's no limits to what she'll do. And that's why she appears to be so evil and appears to be so manipulative. And so, because when she steps away from a man, she's out of control. And she's vulnerable. She's there because she's there to help whoever. Because she was created to be a helper. And she'll help Satan against her own kind.
Mm.
And don't even realize it because no one is there. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? Come on. I can go on now because it gets more interesting. And now remember, he went to the woman. And now the woman, he spoke to the woman. He says, dig this. And he said unto her, unto the woman, yea, hey, sarcastic. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Now the woman answers as if she knew. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the tree in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, what?
God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Where does it say that at? Where does it say that back here in Genesis chapter 2? Let's look where to see what it says about that. It says, go ahead, you got it, number 16?
Yes, 16.
And God commanded the man,
saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for it in the day that thou eatest
thereof, you shall surely die. Go back and see if she said the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Go ahead.
She says in Genesis 3:3, but of the tree, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
She left out the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
What the tree represented.
Right.
The knowledge of
good and evil.
And if she understood the part about evil, she would know who she was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't have been so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
She left out the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God was the good. She was talking to the evil.
Right.
But
right.
She didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made her suck to the next verse. Go ahead. And the serpent did what?
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Now he's going against God because he knew she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even know what evil was.
So
she did not respond. Huh?
She didn't know what he was.
She didn't know what she was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even know. She was just sitting like, she's having a conversation. You know, that's how women get, that's what we do. When we want to fool you, we start a casual conversation. Hi, how are you? Either don't I know you? I've seen you here before. You come to this place for me. So we got all of these little games of casual conversation to get in. And it works. Now walk away with your number. I got your number. I got it. Is that it? With the same system as women by nature are vulnerable that way. They got to be strong and big. They got to be strong and believe. That's what they say. That's crap. They better have some facts. They better know right from wrong. They better know who the devil is and who the devil isn't. So regardless of how or where, when he comes, say, I don't know who you are, but I know you ain't good.
Right.
I don't know why you want to do this, but I'm not going to help you.
Right.
Instead of giving right into it. You know what I'm saying? Let's look at the next part. I don't want to go that far because I've read that a million times. I want you to go down to 15 right now so you can see it. No, go to 14, 13 first.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done?
Notice that when God comes back to the garden in verse 9, right, what does he do?
Thank you, sir.
What does he say in verse 9?
And the Lord said,
and the Lord God called
unto Adam
and said, he didn't come back and ask the woman? Why didn't he ask for the woman? Because he knows she ain't supposed to know. Because he didn't give her the law. He came right back after the whole conversation with the serpent and the woman and said, Adam.
Right.
It's like your mom and papa come home and they know somebody didn't went in that refrigerator. When they say don't go in that refrigerator, they go right for the big kids. They go, Bubba.
Yep, right, yep.
Come here. Bubba be like, I didn't do that Doombug little one. Doombug, the one. I didn't do it, but I was there. I seen him go in the kitchen and little Doombug, come here.
Yes, Mom.
Did you go in that kitchen and take out? I was walking to the kitchen, and Bubba was in the kitchen drinking milk, Mama, and I saw a piece of chicken, and I said, Bubba, who you did on his face? Who's taking that? Bubba, get in the room. I'll be in there with the bell. And Bubba's walking, I didn't even do it. I didn't even do it. That's the story we're looking at right here.
Mm-hmm.
It still repeats itself. And it's going to get that deep, too. Watch.
Right.
Read 13.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done?
That's the next kid.
Yeah.
I told you, Bubba, and you didn't tell her. I told you, Adam, and you didn't tell her. What did you do, kid? Go ahead. And the woman, no, go ahead, what happened?
And the woman.
No, I'm sorry. I wanted you to go before that first.
Okay.
Because we had jumped back to 9, right? I want you to go on to verse 12. I want you to see what it says.
And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest
Mama, Junebug did it. You left me here to take care of Junebug. And Junebug did it. Go ahead, listen to it.
And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
Mm-mm-mm. He had the fridge there open, and I seen the chicken in there, and he was taking some milk. So I said, who's chicken out? He said, I don't know. So I took the chicken, Mama. That's what happened. Read on.
And the Lord God said unto the woman,
who is it that thou hast, what is it that thou hast done?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me.
God moved down to the little girl who's in the room, living by herself, and she don't know what's going on, little Debbie.
Yeah.
And then Debbie's the one who gave me the chicken. Debbie was the little baby, and this is what we do. We pass the buck. All you got to do is ask the mind. You could try it today. Ask the mind, now who told you to so? I want a name. I was standing there talking, and something that you want to know why the devil went for the woman? Try to ask a woman who why they did the thing they did. Watch how many other people's name end up in it. Where we at?
14. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go.
You know, it's funny. Why does a snake care about being cursed above animals in the field?
Right.
Above cows and stuff. What does a snake care? Obviously, this was a snake with legs.
Right.
Obviously, this was not a snake, but rather a symbolic name of a being they referred to as a snake because he was subtle and he spoke. Obviously, this is some form of a human being, some form of reptilian human being who's standing there, obviously, but that sounds too science fiction for you. You know what I'm saying? You could talk about unicorns in the Bible, and you talk about all kind of dragons and seven heads coming out of water, and you preach your hair, and this moment someone says, a human reptilian, that some of the human beings walking the streets you walk up to every day are reptilian. That's why their skin is peeled and scales. Mm-hmm. Some of them, you walk up to is half animals. That's why they take their shirt off, and they got fur on their shoulders.
Because
they're talking about animals that have become mixed with humans. I ain't going to go there, though. I ain't gonna go there, not now, not today. I can go there, but I ain't gonna throw that brick. You understand? Go ahead. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly, snakes are supposed to already be on their belly, y'all.
Right.
Shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the day. All the snakes don't eat dust, y'all. They eat rodents and stuff.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's something going on. Why? Because that dust represents Adam, because man was created of the dust of the ground.
Yeah.
The devil tries to consume us into his world.
Right.
He tries to bring us in to worship him and worship his image. And they get mad at you, Nuwapians, because y'all worship Melechi's image, they say.
Yeah.
Y'all worship Melechi, and he's not in their image. He can't consume you, Nuwapians. He can consume all you fools out there. But he can't consume. He can't make us worship Ford.
Right.
Can't make us idolize seals.
Right.
Well, look, we know they're the devil.
Right.
Plain and simple. And it's in the Bible. But your reverend ain't going to see it because they'll close his church.
Yeah.
We bought our own church.
Right.
By our own money. We get our own temple. We tried to get the temple over there and eat it in there. We're going to take a building and solve the problem and turn it into our lodge. And a couple of devils, no, we said, shoot, we'll go on to Macon and we'll buy Sihah.
Right.
You understand? Not we're going to buy Sihah. You find out we'll be standing on the stoop.
Because
that's how the Walkians work.
Right.
We ain't begging y'all for nothing. We ain't putting our hands out and asking for nothing. We the type of men that lead our women down the right path. We get up and do it. We do for self and kind.
Right.
We ain't asking y'all for nothing. People are putting them counting on help us. To heck with putting them counting.
Okay.
We got arms welcome to us in Macon. And here we go.
Right.
Talk to me.
Right.
Not today. Not nowadays, y'all. And if you go on to the 15th verse, here it goes. And here's why the devil is out for you poor sisters. This is why them fools are going from woman to woman's house saying, can you help us topple Malachi? Can you help us topple Mr. Chisholm? Can you help us topple Mr. Gray? Can you help us topple these brothers? Knock, 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 knock. We'll give you some money. We'll call it Medicaid. We'll call it welfare. But just please help us topple those men. Because those black men out there show black men what they can do. That's the end of our rules. The devil won't be able to consume any more of them. Because we'll start consuming them. And they'll be coming in the bosom of their own between self and kind. They know that's around the corner. And that's why they're knocking on your door, sister. They don't care nothing about you or your baby. They're out to get the men so they can stop the whopping because we are now moving all over the world.
Right.
Read it. Read it in 15. And what?
I will put enmity.
Hate.
Between thee and the woman.
Between you. This is God saying. Between you, serpent, and you, women.
Mm.
That's why he wants you. That's why the woman's life is messed up. That's why there's so many miserable women. That's why there's so many heartbroken women. That's why so many women have been dogged by men. That's why women feel so abused. That's why you're always behind. Because instead you're getting up under the men who are out fighting for you. You know, you want to wrestle with us. You want to wrestle with us and try to keep us down so you can feel equal. And stop letting us excel and pushing us up to the top so we all with the children be on the top together. And the devil knows that because I hate. The devil hates you. He does not hate me. He hates what I do. He hates you for listening to me. So he goes out for you to break our women down and break up our marriages and split up our families. That's what he does. That's his specialty. If you go around the world and you check, you find him in everybody's country messing up everything. If you check the black family and the Latino family and the Mexican family and the Oriental family in this country, you'll find them in there separating you.
Right.
And most of y'all, if I went to the average show and said, raise your hand, how many fathers are still with their mothers? You find it more than half are separated. Mm. If you go to one of them white churches, you find more than half are still together. Right. You don't have the same program for her. Because Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 tells you right up front, the devil hates you women. He wants you. He wants you to hate yourself. He wants to make you live by the three principles. So when you look at all the videos, they got y'all lusted out. Every video got women naked. Why you just can't be a woman? Why no video has you as a housewife? Why don't have no movies? There's no a bunch of women that broke off for them, man. I forgot the name of the movie. Some old black movie, a bunch of women broke away from their man. Yeah, what's it called?
Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale. It's always the same thing. You know what I'm saying? In our world, but in that thing, they got all kind of love stories and all kind of crap, making their families look great. Always trying to make us like in Color Purple, try to make us look like we're a bum. We just beat our women. That's not true. That's not true. All men, all black men ain't like that. And all no black men gonna be like that if you leave it in the wobby.
Right.
But we take good men and make them better. Oh, we stumble and we trip. But we have our own system of living.
Right.
We have our own way of life. We don't follow your rules and regulations.
Right.
And that's what steals us, jumping up and down like a fool, like an old white man. They're not listening to me.
Right.
They don't respect me. They don't respect the system. That's because y'all do not live by the word of God. Y'all live by the words of men. Y'all don't live by the laws of God. You'll live by the laws of men. You don't want to live by the Bible, though you want to preach it every Sunday. You don't want to go by what it says when it gets to things you don't like. If you want to do everything and do like Christ said, drop your nets. Become fishermen. Devote your life to saving other people like we have done. You can't even see. Where do they get their money from? How do they make their money? Seals are so paranoid. He saw a picture of brothers rehearsing for a Shriner drill and said, they must be doing martial arts to come after me. If he knew anything about the Masonic world or Shriner, he'd know the Shriners have a contest where all the drill teams from all the different temples come together and see who can have the best, and they win a trophy. Hello, silly person. If you do a little research, you would make a butthead out of yourself all the time. That's the devil.
Right.
That's devil. The devil hates you, women. That's the first thing you better understand. And he's out to make you miserable. All I got to say to that is amen.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages on WGAG Radio.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablet, backed by popular demand, written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok York Hill, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change, like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
Tune in to the El Holy Tablet Show every Friday and Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Look at the air. Look at the...
People always debated, who's the greatest player of all time? Dumb question. It should be, who's the greatest team of all time?
WGAG Radio.
Sorry, Showtime.
WGAG Radio.
Back to back.
WGAG Radio.
First three-peat.
WGAG Radio.
Even with the flu.
WGAG Radio.
No push-off.
WGAG Radio.
And my favorite.
Radio.
Tough to beat that. What? You think there's someone else? Prove it.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
This is Matuna Firu. I'm calling in from Toledo, Ohio. And I want to give WGAG Radio 7-year happy anniversary.
This is Empress Ross calling in from Reno, Nevada, and I would like to wish WGAG Radio a happy 7-year anniversary.
The senior Lisa calling from Chicago, Illinois. Want to wish WGAG Radio a happy 7 years and many more.
I'm a prestige bitch with a dirty mouth.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
I done came up out of that goddamn life, bitch. I'm trying to show you some shit, but you keep rapping with the fucking name.
Hey, this is James, you know, calling from the nation's capital, with the WGAG Radio. Happy 7 years, and I wish you more.
This is Peace and Blessings saying happy 7th anniversary to WGAG Radio. Calling from North Cross, Georgia. It wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the baddest black, brilliant, big booty, baddest chick in the world, Don Dakota. Yo, nobody can do it like you, baby.
We ghetto? Yes, I would accept the word ghetto. Ghetto. We can do T-T-O. Get who fucking stepping.
Calling from Remington, Washington to wish WGAG a happy 7th birthday. Peace, love, and prosperity, and much growth.
Yeah, this is Jay Iller calling from the great Lone Star State of Texas. Just want to say Shalom, Illa Cool, BL Kaloon, peace to all within the all, Kika Msif Yawoon, and congratulations on a strong 7 years to Don Nicole Leon, WGAG Radio, and the Brain Trust family. We're going to keep doing this shit forever.
Bring them out, bring them out.
So when you got these drugs out there that, for one, have not embraced all, have not embraced God, look at Britain as a piece of ass, and still ain't got cash, and still is lowlife, and always trying to holler. I say, find God, get your shit together, and then holler at me later, nigga.
Hey, Don, this is my baby love calling from Georgia, Georgia. And, of course, I have to give a 7-year birthday shout-out to WGAG, Real Nigga Radio, and to you, the baddest bitch in El Cologne, Don Nicole.
I'm attracted to 93 screaming at the goddamn gas station. That's all I'm fucking attracted to, shout-out.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
Mic check, great day, Doug. Happy 7th anniversary to WGAG Radio. This is Tony calling in from Memphis, Tennessee. I want to wish a happy 7th birthday to WGAG Radio. Y'all put it down all the time. Real shit for real motherfuckers. So keep on keeping it real.
What's going on, Don? It's a Missy the writer calling from New York City, wishing WGAG Radio a happy 7 years.
This is for my girl, my baby girl, Don Coleon, WGAG Radio, Real Nigga Radio. Beautiful 7 years. We gonna do 7 more. This is, by the way, Sita Ama Aset Amuna Ali L right next door over in the ham. You know what? I'm proud of you, and it's just like I know you, and I am so proud of you. You're doing beautiful. You're like a, you're magical. You get me? I should have thrown that shit in there. But you are. But, girl, you got something going on. It's magic. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Keep it up. Keep going. Don't stop.
No.
Yeah, it's your boy Jay Illa. And when I ain't here banging out these amazing beats, I'm cooling with my peeps at the Donna Coleone after party. Come through and chat it up with us anytime. Meet up with the Brain Trust. Come listen to some good music. Get caught up in some good conversation. You may even catch a building session from time to time. Learn something new. Get yourself inspired. What you gotta do, you have to go to www.powtalk.com. Search Don Nicoleone, the after party. And there you are. And here we go.
Now welcome back to the man of the hour.
You're telling the disciples that the woman is going back to the man because that wasn't the beginning, so it's out of the intent.
Right.
And this is because the hormones are not being stimulated by the male.
Exactly.
Now the question is, how do we get the woman back? How do we stimulate the woman? And I have another question.
If you're having difficulties understanding the question, the brother asks, how do we get the woman back? How do we stimulate the woman?
Can I ask that? I'm not that bright. You're a lot younger than me. Let me ask that one and I'll get the other one. That we're already doing that by taking these veils off and giving the women their femininity back. You follow what I'm saying? By putting the pictures out of the females of the scriptures and putting an image back in where women want to walk better. Because we have sisters who walk like men and they cover it up and their hair is covered up. They don't wear makeup. They don't do their nails. They don't care. And that was our fault, right? And so by taking them and bringing them to this new identity, the women feel better about themselves, eventually the husbands feel better about their wives, and that femininity starts. He's talking about, we were talking about young hip-hoppers and how young girls wear sneakers like men and clothes like boys and hats on the side, hang on the corner together. There's no close dancing. They don't listen to slow music. Everything is, you know. They don't even have to learn to dance. You remember when you had to learn how to dance? Huh? You know, they don't go in rooms to learn how to dance. They just get in the party, and if it falls within one of the beats on the track, it's cool. We had to learn how to dance. They said, we got a party, man. We got to go learn this dance this week. They lost all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? They lost the sense of color. They don't even try to match. You know, you be saying, I got no brown socks, man. I got brown shoes, brown socks. These boys come out with aquamarine on, purple. I mean, just iridescent, sub-dome, max jackets, baggy, pants tight, pants baggy, jacket tight. Nothing that makes no sense. That means, like the statue on the wall, the demagogues of London, England, and then the Arabic on the temples of Africa, as it's called today, what was in our soul is now being replaced with what's in their soul. And what's in their soul is now being the place was an hour, because now they're starting to build masajids all over the world, right? And so-called Muslims are starting to come live in the Western world. You follow? I'm saying that to say now the children, through the music and their outlook, have lost their souls. They're becoming demons. There's no effect. You know what it was like? Hay rides, and we go to a party, we had the leather all stop, we went in Latin, you know, or a hustle, or a bus stop, and I'm giving you some research stuff, because it goes back to the twist and the, you know, and the cha-cha-cha here, and the 2 foot and way back there. Now I can go back further to Lindy Hop and the wall. I might need some of y'all though. I don't know. Most of y'all are younger than me, right? But they had a purpose in everything. We dressed a certain way. We went out, everybody partied a certain way. You can go to the beach and didn't have to worry about getting shot up. You went on a picnic and you just went on a picnic. A whole bunch of people have fun together. Nowadays you go to a picnic, you got people that have guns there under the blanket just in case some young creeps decide to come down for this pair on the beach and mess with y'all. See if I'm there? You can't go bike riding. Somebody snaps your bike. Tens of us get together on Saturdays and rent bicycles and just go bike riding. Remember that? So we got to try to give this stuff back to our kids, the beauty. In other words, we're a dying species. You know what I mean? We were very happy people. Even when we didn't have no food because the oatmeal box was empty or the grit box, you know what we did with it? Turned it into a drum. When the toilet bowl roll got empty, True. White people do not have that in them. They do not know how to have fun when they're miserable. You can't even cry and look in the mirror, you're so joyful. Try it. Cry and stand in the mirror and watch them start laughing at yourself. You got so much joy way down inside. If you go to the mirror, start checking out to beauty and stuff. So we're knocking on the door. You all right? But that's us. That is our nature. And what happened, really, I'm telling you what I feel, what happened is in us accepting the all of our Islamic ways and their culture, we cut off us. You know what I'm saying? We cut off us. We're Calypso people. You know, we want the music to move. You know what I'm saying? We want to have a good time. We're colorful people. You know what I'm saying? That's why some of our richest men are comedians. Because they niggas like to laugh. We like to have a good time. We lost a lot we got to get back in tune with. And believe me, don't care what people say. There's enough of us to do it our own way. Just look at us. We do it our own way. We just create our own everything. Everything there is, we create it. As long as we do not disrespect the laws of Allah. As long as we stay on the laws of Allah, there's no limit to what we can't, well, there's a limit, you know. But don't get stupid. But you understand what I mean, right? So we're doing that already. And now we got to concentrate on the boys. Because young boys are egotistical like you wouldn't believe, this younger generation. Can't tell them nothing. They don't know nothing. And can't be told anything. Try to have a conversation with them, you hurt their feelings. You try to correct them, you insult them, their feelings get hurt and they regress down to a kid. Just trying to tell me, that's stupid. You just getting ready to shoot somebody with an AK-47 a minute ago, now you're standing like a little boy. That's how they are. It's a mess that white men have got deep into our minds in this generation and messed our heads up. They gotta learn how to walk. They walk like gorillas. You know, they walk like gorillas and stuff. They act cocky and we gotta change all of that. We gotta change our whole value system for our younger generation.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages on WGAG Radio.
You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, from Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or jointhegossip.com.
WGAG Radio.
Would you like to ask Donna a question? Are you in need of advice or counsel? Tell Don DeColeon your concerns on a particular matter, your views or opinions about something that's important to you or anything you want her to talk about on the show. Email DearDonDeColeon@gmail.com.
Now welcome back to the man of the hour.
If you go down through history, you'll find it wasn't Mary of Magdalene or Mary Jesus' mother or Martha or any of them that gave birth to the sect that brought about all the denominations of Christianity. After Allah put his part in it and gave us the Messiah, it wasn't the women who messed it up. In fact, it was a woman who had the most courage to go to the tomb in the morning while the disciples were hiding behind a closed door, brothers. Men. While we were hiding behind closed doors. You hear it now, don't you? She, Mary Magdalene, went out and took the chance of getting killed. You understand? You understand me? So again, who is responsible for Lutheranism? Seventh Day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Pentecostals, Catholics, Coptics. You can just say us, you know. But they're not there, the scissors going. It's been a long time coming. Now, when you go on into Judaism, who was responsible for breaking all the families up? Who sold Joseph into slavery? Their sister Dina or Dinah or the brothers? That threw all of Israel into bondage in Egypt. Who did that? Who's responsible for the sectism of Judaism? Who's responsible for this? Women are doing this? And the ones that didn't Israel now, to the Khazars, the Sephardic, Ashkenazians. Who is doing this? When you get back and read, you get back to men's names who are responsible for the thoughts that bred the sexism inside the sect of Judaism. Now, let's go to Islam. Was it Fatima? No. Was it Aisha? Yes. Was it Khadija? No. But is Aisha responsible for all of the sects that came out of Islam? No. Name a sect called Aishaites. Yeah. She had a voice and it got shoveled under the rug like it always does with women. If she was such a powerful force in holding up Sunni Islam under her father, Abu Bakr Siddiq, why isn't anything in her name except hadith, which are referred for men? Again, the responsibility for breaking the Islamic faith up into a bunch of sects, which has everybody fighting each other. You follow that? All over the world is us, men. But Allah did not originate it in man. He originated by sending an angel to the woman. And even in Muhammad's case, for those who are saying, what about Muhammad? Muhammad didn't know what to do with his message until he came back to Khadija. And you have a whole section, the cloak. And she cloaked him under. Right. And then took him to her Christian uncle. Right? But Khadija opened his heart and head to his position as a prophet. So to answer your question, yes, women should be able to pray alongside of us or even in front of us. Yes, women should be able to give shahadas, perform akikas, baby ceremonies, perform marriage ceremonies. You follow? Mm-hmm. Yes, they should be able to lead prayer, call to prayer, funeral rites, teach classes, lecture. Yes, why not? And in that right, yes, they should be able to go out and propagate just like you do. Because you don't call it peddling, you call it propagating. Right? That's what you tell the wives when you come home, out propagating. As far as I'm concerned, women have the right to do anything Allah says. And until someone presents me with a scripture that says otherwise, and please don't bring Paul. Right, please. Present me with a scripture that says otherwise, I'm following Allah. You follow that? You can follow Muhammad. You can follow Moses. You can follow Jesus. I'm following Allah. Your divine purpose is being blocked by man. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a certain amount of information that he did not give us. What is that information? The world has been ruled, the religious world, by religious men. Relax your neck. You're too tense. Just relax. By religious men. The rabbis were men. The swamis, the gurus were men. Right? The imams, the sheikh, the maulana, the muftis, the effendis, the shahs, the sayyids, the sharifs, the Mahdi, men. The Mujaddid, men. The Messiah, prophets, men, but there's women that they never mention. There's three women called prophets in the scripture that they just jump over like it's a hurdle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left you women with a divine path. Something that you have to teach us. A question. that has popped up to me since I've been teaching. I've answered it many times, but for some reason, even though I've answered this question many times, it always seems to get asked again. I don't know why, and then it dawned on me. Because a woman teacher has to explain it, not a man. You know why? Because I've never had a son and a daughter. I have children through my mates, but I personally never carried a son or a daughter in me for 9 months. Right, brothers? Now, women don't understand it unless they have a son and then a daughter. So they can't teach it. You'll understand the difference in what a male child does to the woman's metabolism and what a female child does to a woman's metabolism only if you can have a male and female child. Other than that, we men do not know why she freaks out more after a female child than she does after a male child. She feels it in her body, the chemical reaction that it has, a female child versus a male child. I can't teach it. I was asked, why do they say 40 days for the male and 80 days for the female, which of course the Torah in Leviticus only says 7 for the male and 2 weeks for the female, so the point is still there, Leviticus 12. Correct? It's double the time. Again, the point stays. Why double for the female and not double for the male? People ask me for years. I said, well, because when a woman gives birth to a child that's a female, she takes from every part of her body. Everything from a nail growth, because women's nails grow different than men. If you look at a woman's hands, you can tell. You understand? The way a woman's heel on her foot grows, the curve here, is different than a man's. The arch is different than a man's. The bone structure in the face, though some women look masculine, the bone structure in the face is different. Not to mention mammary glands, fallopian tube, uterus, etc., etc., etc. But these things the woman has. So when a child, if a female is being shaped in the womb with the X chromosome, it takes from every inch of body. Takes off from up here. It drains some of the brain fluids post-mortem. So after she has a female child, she will give you a rough time, brother. She is freaked out. She don't even know why she's freaked out, but she is freaked out for something she feels. With a male child, it's half the problem. Correct? Now, I've answered that question as a male teacher for years. Yet people have been asking me the same question over and over again. Even though I've answered it in books, in the Church Bible, Muslim, I've answered it, it's been answered. But it still gets asked again and again and again to me. So I realized it's because it is our woman teacher who's going to have to answer that question. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by that incident I just explained to you, tells us that Leviticus 12 is a woman's job. And the word Leviticus is from the word Lawi or Levi or Levi. And the Levites were the priest tribe of Israel. You follow that? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put right in the 12th chapter about the nature of the woman in concerning birth of a male or female, and no man can really explain it, not even me, because I can't feel it. She can get up here and get in detail. Well, what happens is, you know, you look at an egg and you just say like chopping it up. You know, you flip an egg, the yolk is there, and you just go, pew. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I want to throw my son out the window. I just get this feeling. We can't begin to understand that click in her nature. You understand what I mean? So it was destined that a woman raised up in us as a teacher of the Levitical law and thus become a priest. This. You follow? an imam. In our researches this week, we found a hadith. Right in their own hadith, the manual of hadith that the Sunnis use, I think it's the 29th page, right? It literally says the Prophet Muhammad told Waraka that she should act as imam. You'll be in a, you have it on a piece of paper soon just for fun, so you go, nah, 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 nah. He literally said to act as an imam, and they used the word in there, imam. They didn't even put it in feminine. Now, we jump into what is an imam? We don't want to answer this. We want them to answer that question. We want the Sunni to answer what is an imam. Now, their answers are the leader of the mosque, the leader of the prayers, the administrator of the prayers and the laws in the mosque. That is Imam Siraj Wahaj. He collects zakat. He makes the trip back and forth to Mecca, representing. He goes to the meeting, correct? He chairs the khutbah. Right? He leads the salah. He recites the Quran. He performs the janazah and the nikah, the funeral and the wedding ceremonies. This is their definition of imam. He got a big position. There's even imams like Bukhari who have the right to write hadith. Correct? Everybody here can add their name on the next hadith. But then why not? I mean, after Imam so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, then it gets down to you, and you say, when you talk to Sunni, you say, well, according to my hadith, it was once Bukhari's hadith. I mean, why are you allowed to do that? Plain and simple, that's what they did. Bukhari's not a prophet, he's not an apostle, he's not the Messiah, he's not the Mahdi, he was a man who put his name after somebody else's name on a chain called a silsila, one of these things. And at the end of that link, he added his name. But somewhere along the line, the Sunnis stopped adding names. But we can. We get to that point, we add our name. Say, well, according to me, in this hadith, in the Sunni, say, you can't do that. Why can't I? Show me somewhere in the hadith where it says I can't do that. This is something you did. But ask them to define an imam. And once they put the writing on the wall of what an imam is, then and only then do you present them with that hadith. Don't go running to them now before you got it. But I got one. Wait. And let them tell you, this is what an imam is. And then you say then, when did y'all start disobeying the Prophet Muhammad? Because somewhere along the line, because I can travel throughout the Islamic world today, and I don't find any female imams at all. But in your hadith, it's there. Now, some people say, well, there's a section in the Bible that says, women should not minister unto men. Right? If you're looking at again, you find out that's Brother Paul again. It wasn't the Messiah Jesus. It wasn't John or James or Barnabas. Your father or Musa or Yahshua. It was Brother Paul about his business of distorting the law and creating a hadith for himself. That was not the law. So women have a divine mission within the mission. And probably one of the reasons why we were failing is because we were limping in the Olympics. Because if your right leg is severed, and you gotta use just your left leg, you will be limping in the Olympics. Correct? Our nation has been limping for 20-something years. We went into the ring to box the world with our right hand tied behind our back. And don't understand why we keep getting a black eye. We got this hand up for defense, and he keeps on punching me in this eye. What do I mean by he punches me in this eye? He weakens the community by getting to the women, and they want to leave, and then you follow. More women leave than men, you know. But it's easier, because look at this society. They're prisoners. They're not allowed to think. She can't tell you to shut up when you talk too much. But you can tell her to shut up. And your wife turned around and said, why don't you just shut up? You know what you would do? You would, I know that the men are laughing, but they really think they got to figure it out. You would get into a fight. So you thought I was going to say, you knock out. You don't really know if you can beat your wife. You don't really know because she's been told to let you do that. Now just suppose when you swung, she grabbed your hand and bent your little pinky finger till you was on the ground. How would you explain that to us, brother? Because in the years that I've been in this community, I've seen brothers come back with scratches and say, well, we got a little scuff. I said, little scuff. Little scuff. I mean, how did you get this scratch? Without the ducking and the bobbing and weaving and made me do all this stuff else. How did you get that close? All right, you know, she snuck me. A woman snuck you? She snuck me. When I woke up, then I told her, I'm going to kill her. Did you kill her? Oh, well, I had to go find something to put on my eye first. Suppose she does beat you up. We'll never know how powerful she is because for centuries, the concentration has been on suppressing her. I'm not saying I want no wife lifting weights and becoming muscular. I'm quite sure you don't want no wife looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe some of y'all, I don't know. Not everybody, right? But you will never know how much they can help us as long as we don't allow them. We're never going to realize how slow we're moving until we put that other foot down on the ground and take that other hand from behind our back. You understand? And get on the ball. Allah will make himself clear. That's why I said that a woman has to interpret Leviticus. That's clear. That men are doing it, but Allah made it clear that the only being other than a woman that could understand that would be Allah. How can a man ever understand? Only Allah other than a woman could understand that. That gives you a clue there that that's divine. You follow? And then that also gives you a clue that Allah's nature goes beyond the simple he. Him. The man Allah. And that's what gave people in Nation of Islam the right to personify him in one individual man. He. And that's going to take a long time, because I said to sonify him. Because it's been drilled, the curse has been drilled in us. Who decided that the word Hua had to be male and here had to be female? Like I said last week, Khalifas are male, but they have Tamabuta on it, which is a mark of the female. Right in the Quran. We are responsible for distortion. Allah is the source. You can make him a man if you need that man. I don't need it. I don't need to give him a gender to make me feel great no more. I did. It's like most men do. I don't need to see him as a man with a beard. You know what I'm saying? To feed my ego. I see the creator. That's why you'll find I use the great soul a lot of times now in writings. The great soul. That great could be great in time or in size.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York, the reformer, for this day and time, right after these messages.
Members of Congress expressed optimism Sunday about the prospects for reaching a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is entering its third full day, and both Israelis and Palestinians.
Bottom line, Senator, if the president nominates Ambassador Rice to be the next Secretary of State or some other...
Supplementary question. Do you personally believe that gay people are born gay?
Impact segment tonight, the Talking Points memo.
Hot damn politics.
Hot damn politics.
Hot
damn politics.
Hot damn politics.
Hot damn politics.
Hot diggity damn politics.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I'm back now with the Brain Trust panel.
Brain Trust. Brain Trust. Brain Trust. Brain Trust panel.
These niggas won't hold me back.
Hot diggity damn politics.
I put that shit on everything.
Hot damn politics.
Wednesday nights at
9 p.m.
Only on
WGAG Radio. You catch my girl legs open, better smash that. Don't be surprised if she asks where the cash at.
Let's talk about what they don't want you to talk about.
On the Donna Coleon Show, Rock Talk Radio, Monday through Friday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Or JulieDeGasso.com.
WGAG Radio.
Would you like to ask Donna a question? Are you in need of advice or counsel? Tell Donna Coleon your concerns on a particular matter, your views or opinions about something that's important to you or anything you want her to talk about on the show. Email DearDonnaColeon@gmail.com.
Hey, man. Hey, bro. Man. Hey, man. I see you think I got that book in your hand, man, written by Dr. York, man. Where you get that book from, cuz? Shout out, man. I've been on Live. I've been on eBay. I've been on Amazon. I've been on some of them goddamn bootleg-ass Dr. York sites and shit, man. These motherfuckers charging goddamn near rent money and a goddamn down payment on a house and shit for some of them Dr. York books, man. It's hard as hell to find a goddamn one. Then I went fucked around and went on goddamn Amazon. They were selling all the tablets and shit. For goddamn, it was a goddamn notebook. It was a goddamn holy tablet in the goddamn binder, man. These motherfuckers charge like $600-$800 for these Dr. York books, man. Hey, man, what can I goddamn get me one of them Dr. York books reasonable, man? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about like at least goddamn some of his shit, man. These motherfuckers really motherfucking charging out the ass, y'all. I need a legit place. Where the fuck can I get me some Dr. York books at, man? That I won't motherfucking goddamn go broke over. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does this sound like you? Well, of course it does. Or, matter of fact, it did until you found out about All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. That's right. All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia. You don't ever have to worry about where is your money. Who can you speak to? All these bogus, fake, bootleg sites that are perpetrating and pretending that they're selling Dr. Malachi Z. York's book. And even if they did, they're not selling it at an affordable price. Don't go to no one else. No one. No robots, no websites, no none of that. Get all your Dr. Malachi Z. York books right here at All Eyes on Egypt. And we're running a sale for the month of September till October the 9th. On Man from Planet Rich is at $19. The El Holy Tablets is at $70. Also, let's not forget the Sacred Wisdom of Tahuti. That's in right now. Get it now while you can at $25. So much more. The Right Knowledge series, the Christ series, the Mohammedism, the Mosesism, the Christism. We got everything. The Luciferian Conspiracy. Everything written by Dr. Malachi Z. York at a legitimate, affordable price and a legitimate store authorized by Dr. Malachi Z. York himself. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. And enjoy the rest of your life knowing that All Eyes on Egypt in Monticello, Georgia is dependable, trustworthy, and authorized by Dr. Malachi Z. York. Why wait? Pick up the phone today. Call 706-468-2319 and speak to a live person. Only at All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia. That's All Eyes, EGIPTGA.com. Call us today.
Now welcome back to the Man of the Hour.
What does the word Allah represent? What would God mean to you instead of Allah?
When you use the word God, especially Christianity, they have this bad habit of capitalizing God at certain times and making it small in other parts of the Bible and making it look like that happened in the Greek or in the Hebrew or in the Arabic when it didn't, because there are no capital letters in Hebrew, there's no capital letters in Greek, and there's no capital letters in Arabic. So when they read the Bible and refer to Moses as God or David as God or Adam as the son of God, sometimes they make those small letters and try to make, when they refer to Jesus, capital letters. And this is done maliciously to misinform people, to make them think that Jesus was saying that he was a God when he never made that statement ever in the Bible. So the word God in itself can be, you know, can describe anything that is worshipped or adorned. When we speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're describing the thing that brought about the spark, that brought about every living thing. You follow? So even when they say God, most of the time they mean Allah. That's another very important point. They mean to say Allah, but they just don't know that.
You said that, which is very true, that, you know, a woman's place is our home. Why are we here? You know, we're all among men.
Sure. See, the difference is, you came, like, let's say, Fatima or Umm Habib or one of the other women of Rasulullah's time who came seeking him, seeking the truth, too, to get questions and solve, you know, things in your mind. That's not what I mean. A woman is not something a man uses. She's something created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and guide and nurture a man and her family. That is her job. You know, a man's responsibility is to provide for his family physically and mentally to make sure that they have means as well as proper spiritual guidance. Women have to find their way home, because a woman is not complete until she's in the arms of a man that cares for her and his family, as well as an environment that's providing for them. A woman, when she's not in that environment, cannot really function. When a woman's living in an apartment, receiving welfare, it's not the state of mind she belongs in. A woman is comfortable when she looks out a window and she sees crops growing, and she knows that her children will have provisions next year. When a man is out there and he's turning the soil, then she's in the house cooking the food, and the children are being taught by the mullah, being taught by the maulana of the Quran. Then her nature is perfect. We're trying to get to that state, because the Christians live their life well in this country. They do all the devilishment that their doctrine says, so their women seem to be well organized and perfected. And the only thing that keeps the Muslim woman from being organized and perfected is the Muslim man is so full of jive. Bottom line, they're so full of mess that they're busy trying to get to Mecca so they can get Hajj on their name, or showing off and impressing each other instead of building for the woman and the daughters and the sons. So the thing is, no, I'm not saying feel shame about being out. I know you have to provide for yourself because you're in a strange land, a Western world. But what we're saying is we're providing a place for that, for Muslims to raise, where you and that daughter that lays right there on your shoulder sleep could be secure and protected and learn Islam and follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad according to this Quran. You see what I'm saying? This is what you have to learn, that we have to come home and build together. No one can do it for us, and the Jew or the Christian is not going to help us. We have to do it ourselves. It's going to come from the labors of the men. People used to laugh when they used to see the Ansar men out on the streets, on the subways, begging and doing all kinds of things to complain. These brothers are begging. That's not Sunnah. These brothers do this. They do that. Now they walk through Bushwick Avenue, and we built a mosque from the ground up. Now, does it make a difference whether we begged up the money to build a mosque from the ground up, or whether we work for it as long as the mosque is built from the ground up and is now a place to worship Allah, is the bottom line. Does it make a difference how we went through getting the land, the farmland, and the property of state where families are living now and more families are migrating up every week? Does it make a difference how we got it in a society that's against our way of life as long as we provide it for our women? You see, we have farmland. We have animals there. When we sacrifice as animals that have been raised in the name of Allah, living off the food of the land, it's a difference. We got to try to live Islam. It's not a religion like Christianity and Judaism where they put it on and take it off like on Sunday and Saturday. This is something we live day in and day out. And you women are supposed to be protected by us men. That is our job. And I can't blame y'all when you become a menace or a rebel or cause problems or become difficult to live with, because if we provide for you properly, we won't have these problems. But if we provide a place and then you don't come, then that's not our fault. We have the place here. Your family should be here in a place that's practicing Islam the best way. I know you have to learn. Your doctrines are different and you got to learn to study us and see how crazy we are, or if we're for real. I understand that. It says the hearts of many shall be waxed cold in the latter day. Rasulullah told us there's going to be so many false prophets and false teachers that people are going to be confused. I understand that. But don't waste so much time. Study. Get these books and analyze them thoroughly through the Quran, the scriptures, and take them back to whatever mosque or jama you go to and ask questions and see if they know. Forget the teachings. Say, what are y'all providing for the children in the future? What are y'all providing for our food when this depression comes in? What are you going to provide? You see, the weather's all out of whack. You haven't had a summer or a winter this year. You see, the seasons are gone, crops are dying. The man told y'all just this year on television, there's droughts in the South. Remember this? Didn't I tell y'all last year there'll be droughts in the South and all the animals are going to die? I told y'all this before it happened. Now it's happening. Chickens are dying by the thousands. Cows are dying. Where do you think your poultry comes from? It goes to New York. Where do you think it comes from? It comes from the southern part of this country. If the crops are dying, where's the food going to come from you're going to eat this year? Smart people started learning how to eat out of cans. They started learning to eat out of cans now because that's what you're going to live off. And if you don't, you're on this health food kick and the southern part of the country is going through a depression. There's a drought and the crops are dying. Your body is going to go through many changes. You better start training yourself to live off cans now because you're running to that time. Then, when they start cashing bottles and turning in metal, they're preparing for war. You understand that? When America has to tell people they can get changed for bottles and they can get changed for pieces of metal, they're preparing for war. Anybody is in that room old enough to know what happened during the last depression? In 1945, 1944? No, he wasn't here. When people was on lines, they had soup lines in Manhattan, all up and down Wall Street. The banks closed down. People had money in their banks. They went to get their money out, and they couldn't get their money out the bank. The banks closed. Wall Street fell. The hospitals were closing because they were sending all the medical supplies overseas for the military men. You're coming back through this again. You're getting ready to go through one of those depressions. You better be out of the city and living somewhere where you live in Islam. Learn, you better start learning how to live out of cans now. Because there's not going to be no fresh food because the man that played with the elements and now the climate is out of whack. It just goes dark in the daytime. These are the signs of the times, of the end of the world. The sky shall be blackened. When you can no longer tell men from women. Just look, when you can, Rasulullah Muhammad said, when you no longer can tell the men from the women. Well, walk down the street now. They got unisex stores. They got people walking around looking like they're djinns. Hair orange, all sticking straight up in the air like roosters and porcupines. Walk through the village and see it. You're looking at Sodom and Gomorrah coming back out of the grave. The resurrection of the dead is not only for the righteous, but the unrighteous are coming back too. It didn't just say for the righteous, the resurrection of the dead. It says in Revelation, when the graves shall unturn. The graves are unturning now. And out of the graves is coming the wicked. They're disguising themselves as punk rockers so you can't see that they're djinns. They walk around looking dead with no color in their skin, with black lipstick. And don't y'all see? We do not have the time to play. Y'all got, look at all those kids. Just look around. Look at all them little Muslim boys and girls sitting in that room. Look around you. Look at your own kids. You brothers in there. You sisters in there. Look at these little Muslim boys and girls. You're not teaching them Arabic because you don't know it. You're not teaching them the Quran because you don't know it. You're not preparing their souls. Stop pretending you could do it because you can't. And bring them where they can be taught the Quran and taught to follow the Quran in Arabic and taught to pray properly. Stop hurting your own kids. What's wrong with you? You're holding them back. And there's no time for it. Those kids are the children that's going to save you. Rasulullah said, raise a kid in righteousness and they will call you to paradise. They could do it. You can't. Because you've already drunk to the wrath of the fornications of the harlot. You've already lived with her. You've taken drugs and you've drunk in alcohol. You've desecrated your physical body. Raise the children in righteousness. Don't leave them out there amongst the beasts to be gobbled up with crack and drugs and a whole bunch of demons that call themselves human beings. Who are misleading people. And they're getting over as human beings. And they're not human beings, they're demons. And they're made in this last day and time because the white man, as he's called, lost his generation of people to punk rock. So he had to come up with something to take our kids. And he came up with this hip-hop stuff. He started with the breaking. And now he got a whole bunch of other people who are pulling our children away from righteousness down the path of drugs. All those people are drug addicts. Crack. Every time we get rid of one drug, every time we overcome another drug, he invents another. And unless we stand up and fight against it, we will perish. Nations before you have perished. Whole nations of people have been wiped out by this man. He is trying to wipe you out. Trying to eliminate your total existence with falsehood and lies. And he's succeeding in doing it. Unless you rebel against him and establish your own kingdom. Teach your own children. Feed your own women. You got to do this yourself because the man is not going to help you. Stop fooling yourself. Stop trying to be like him. You better come up with solutions to the problem because the time is running out. You don't control the weather. He can declare war today, and all them little boys that you see right there will be a part of it, whether they want to or not. Send them to any part of the world he wants. Drop them there to be shot at. Any of you brothers who was in Vietnam, you know what I'm talking about. He'll drop those kids over anywhere, right into the Arab world. He'll drop them on a helicopter, and they're there to fight until they die. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. This is the devil. He is busy doing his mission in the world today because he knows his time is almost up. Everybody, Elijah Muhammad, everybody who taught, kept saying his time is almost up. You follow that? Don't keep putting off for tomorrow what you could do today. Y'all better come home where you belong and start to build outwards. Get these, look at all these kids. It's sad to sit there and look at all of these kids there. All these young men and young women who are sitting there with tawagi. They got tawagis on their heads. They got isuna clothes on, and you're not letting them be taught. For whatever reason, most of it is our own selfishness. I can't live in the community. I can't be told what to do. I can't live by those principles. I heard this about the mob. I heard that. They said you do. They said they take this from you. They say you can't live with your wife. They say you can't see your children. A bunch of lies. They're keeping you away from the past. Wake up. The hourglass is almost empty.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.